That's lovely. And we welcome you here to our pre-show here for Tuesday. Welcome to the show. Good news. Just got the call from the good people at Playing House, so I'm going to be back as Chief McGrath. You know, it's exciting for me because that's a payday, and it's a IMDb credit, and it's on my resume, and it's all that, and it's this and that and everything else. Anyway, they're really, and it's also, it's a great show. Those guys are funny people. I mean, they really are. Jessica St. Clair and Lennon and everybody in the show. A lot of guys from UCB are on the show. And so anyway, I'm really happy to be asked back as Chief McGrath for a forthcoming episode. Not exactly sure which one, but I will let you know. And I have to be honest with you, when I got the news, I did tweet it before I came to you guys here at the BSP, but I'm giving you some of the background on it that I wasn't able to put in the tweet. So that's pretty cool. And today, I had a great meeting at Podcast One. We are now officially on board with Podcast One, a great platform, great people. I know, I've known Norm Pattiz for over 30 years, and he brings to the table a lot of experience in terms of advertising as well as you know, just things like demographics and time spent listening, and a lot of stuff that advertisers really care about. And, you know, and we said to them, we have a subscription base which has been loyal to us and has been the bread and butter of our business for years. And I said, so we don't want to do anything that's going to alienate them. And they understood that. And I said, insofar as advertising goes, once our shows go behind the paywall, we want to remove the advertising from it. And they had no problem with that at all. Because basically archival material is not really it's not really a place where you put advertising inventory. So that was a beautiful thing. That was a groove. That was the Groove Nation. So, you know, I mean, just it's all good, man, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm looking at this fucking soccer game. Bournemouth, which is about ready to be promoted to the Premier League. They're a little small English Channel town, and they have a 12,000 person stadium, and they're about, and they've just been promoted. They won the Championship League, and they're going to be promoted to the Premier League, which is kind of like, if I could give you an example, it would be as if the, oh, I don't know, you know, like the Iowa AAA baseball team suddenly with a, you know, with an 8,000 seat stadium became a major league stadium, and became a major league team. And it's a good comparison because AAA is the next level below Major League Baseball, and Championship the Football League is the next level below Premier League. So but you do have that disparity in terms of market size, similar to what we have in AAA against, you know, Major League Baseball. So you have, like, I think Iowa is a AAA franchise, Providence, Rhode Island, you know, the Providence, or was it Pawtucket? Yeah, that's it, Pawtucket. I mean, their stadiums are not big. Dayton, you know, these are all baseball stadiums are pretty small, and it would be as if they were promoted suddenly to Major League Baseball for next season because they won the, you know, AAA International League or whatever the fuck, Pacific Coast League. And okay, you're in Major League Baseball now. And then it's up to the club and the money. They want to continue to spend money so they can expand the fucking seats, you know. And but one of the great things about getting Premier League money is that you take a big chunk of bread from the TV contract when you get into that league. And so even if you're just a little tiny market like Bournemouth, you're like Green Bay. You know, you're suddenly an equal partner with all these other big teams. And they would be, I think they're the they will be the smallest market in Premier League football next year in English Premier League. And it's 20, they have 20 teams. So they always have 20. They're always relegating, what they call relegating, or dropping down three teams, the last three teams in the league, and they promote from below the top three teams. The Premier League, you can't get any higher than that. You can get into the Champion League competition, which is all of Europe. You can get into the Europa League competition, which is a secondary competition in Europe. There's also the FA Cup any fucking team can play for the FA Cup. That's why you often, you'll see these teams that are like League Two teams, which is four divisions down, playing a Premier League team in FA Cup competition. It's kind of exciting, and it brings onto the national stage at least, you know, once a year, these little tiny teams that otherwise nobody would notice, other than, you know, people who follow them. So the other thing is that's happening in football, world football in the UK, is the ongoing saga of the Rangers of Glasgow. The Glasgow Rangers or the Rangers are one of two teams known in Scotland as the Old Firm. And that the other team would be Celtic Football Club, which is a Glasgow team, and the Rangers, which are a Glasgow team, which is a Glasgow team. Well, the Rangers were through a series of misfortunes, bad management, shitty play, and just horrific circumstances, dropped way down. They left the Scottish Premier League, and they went way the fuck down to, like, whatever their League 3 or their League 2 is, you know, which would be, like, 1, 2, 3 divisions down. And they've been battling their way back, and the fans have been just absolutely disgusted. There was a time when the Glasgow Rangers played for the Championship of Europe in the early 70s. There was a time when they were one of the premier teams in the world. And to see them go from that, you know, stature all the way down to shit can stature is pretty depressing for their fans. And, you know, these football fans, world football fans, soccer fans, they like to travel with their teams. They go to the different games. They get on their fucking coach. They wave their flags. But it's pretty depressing for you to be sitting there in some little shitty 5,000-seat, 2,000-seat stadium rooting on the Rangers against, you know, whatever, Kipling or, you know, I don't, you know, the little tiny, you know, today we're going to play the village of Wong Key. You know, they're playing Wank Village or something. It's like, huh? So think about that. Think how fucked up that'd be. Like, if you were a New York Giant football fan and the Giants got relegated down like three divisions, next thing you know, the Giants are having to play like the Portsmouth Maroons or some shitty little team, you know, in a little 8,000-seat stadium, whereas at one time you were there at the Meadowlands and you're cheering them on and there's 90,000 screaming people, and now you're like, this is what it's become. You'd get pretty pissed and pretty depressed. So they're one of the things about the fans in those leagues that I've told you, the supporters are very powerful. They have a lot to say, and they say it, you know, when it comes to, you know, how their teams are doing, how their teams are managing shit. So the last I checked, Scotland has its own football league championship. It's called Football League Championship, is their second division, and the Rangers were like in third. Now they promote the top three teams, but I think the third position team has to be involved in a playoff. I could have all this fucked up, but I don't know if they're going to get promoted or not. The bigger picture, though, is that the Scottish Premier League, in the minds of a lot of people, it's really only got two teams that are worth a fuck in terms of market size. And that really what should be happening is that the English Premier League should become a British Premier League and include teams from Scotland. They already have teams from Wales, so why don't they have teams from Scotland? There's the traditional Scottish League, which people sort of honor for its tradition, but it's outside of the big cities of Edinburgh and Glasgow, the teams are small, the stadiums are small, it's just, it ain't nothing, man. And they're talking about, which I, you know, they're just, it's discussion among fans and among writers. There's no, I don't think there's any official discussion at the league level of bringing at least the Rangers and Celtic or Celtic, however the fuck that's pronounced, into the Premier League of England, you know, or you know, have them have that be open to them. So I don't know if they'd have to start out, you know, in like League Two, which would be League Two, League One, Football League Championship or Football Championship, and then Premier League. So that would be, you know, you'd have to be three divisions down. And I personally would love to see that. I think it would be fucking awesome to see the Rangers take on Manchester United. Can you imagine that? I mean, that would be fucking huge, you know, to see these two, to see clubs like that go at each other. I mean, with all of the fucking history and tradition those teams have, to see them take take on, see the Rangers or Celtic take on Chelsea, you know, or Liverpool or something. I mean, because I am becoming a football fan, the world football soccer fan, only from the standpoint that there's really nothing for me in the spring months. I'm not a fucking basketball fan the way I used to be. And that has a lot to do with the fortunes of the Lakers. The Lakers were fucking doing better. That's how it is for me, man. I don't give a shit. There's only one sport that I watch league-wide, and that's football. Because we ain't got a fucking football team in L.A. But I just don't give a shit if I don't see my teams there. I don't give a shit about baseball if I don't see my teams. If the Dodgers are not in it, you know, Angels I sort of follow, but you know, I tried to get into the Angels. I like the Angels because I like Mike Socha. But so in the spring, I like to follow, and I even follow the English Premier League during the football season, American football season. I follow, like, it's interesting to follow some of the Spanish teams. It's cool to follow some of the French teams. The French league is considered to be not that well run. There've been some problems there, but you know, in terms of whether they're adhering to, you know, they're enforcing their own rules, and you know, it's they I've heard it said that they consider the French league to be kind of sloppy. But anyway, that's what's going on there in the land of world football. Now, what you're looking at here behind me is what we call our network computer. That's simply our Audacity program. You can see the, there you see, it's registering modulation. And there we have a note for me. We're doing Sherry's Berries here in the show today. That was one of the things that I went and I talked to those cats about today. Over at Podcast One. Saw Norm Pattis. Great to see Norm. I saw, we met Jim and met the crew over there. We're excited about it. We really are grateful to LEG and to Sideshow Network for the support they gave us, especially Darren. I'm always going to be appreciative of all of your help, Darren. I wanted to see if we could exploit the platform that Podcast One has. They have a huge platform in terms of downloads. They've got big shows like Adam Carolla's show. Trying to think of who else they got. well, they got who's the guy, man? I just was right there on the tip of my tongue. But in any event, they've got, you know, Dennis Miller, I think. They've got shows that do a lot of downloads. I think they do a lot of downloads combined. They have a good. I personally think they have a very good method to get cross-promotion going, which is what we really want to do. I say all of that to let you know, our subscribers, that this remains, with the exception of those 30 shows that are free, this remains a subscription website. That remains the primary business that we do here. What we're simply trying to do is get more people exposed to our product, because it's a whole new game, man. A year ago, we began in the digital world having left radio, and it was we were starting all over again. Not really starting all over again so much as establishing ourselves in a new medium, because while I have, there's name value. When you say the name Phil Henry, people know me. There's a different kind of listening habit that goes on in the world of podcasts. It's an on-demand listening habit. People are already, by the time we got over there, people were already well ensconced in the kinds of shows they like, the podcasts they like. You had guys like, and still have guys like Mark Maron and Adam Carolla and Chris Hardwick and, you know, guys like that who were well-established and had loyal listeners. And we had to kind of, you know, punch our way into that whole thing. No matter how well-known you may be in the world of audio comedy or whatever, you got to, you know, you got to, as they say, make your bones. So that's what we had to do. And we did about as well as we could. I think with the partnership we had with Sideshow, I think they're great people. I love them and respect them, and they helped us immensely with our live show. And we took advantage of everything we possibly could with those guys, and they have a great company that supports them, LEG. LEG is huge. LEG is a massive. Levity Entertainment Group is a massive company, and my godson, Joe, as a matter of fact, just went to work for him. Joe's in the technical end of things. He's a, I think he makes things fly, and he, invisibility, I don't know what he does. He's weird. Kidding around, Joe. So, so they're great guys, and I'm grateful to them. I just am, man, and going over to Podcast One is simply a business decision that, I think you have to make it a move like that when you get an opportunity to go with a company with that big, download platform. Our show, and I think Gilbert Gottfried, were the two biggest shows on Sideshow. And while that's good, it's also not good because I can't get any bigger than my own show. What am I going to go on another guy's show that may not have as many downloads? It may not have as big a platform, so I'm not really building on anything. I'm not really accessing a superior numbers. So we were kind of up against that a little bit, but we're looking forward to that one, man. That's going to be great. And we had a good meeting. We got a great. LEG also had a really impressive operation over there on the west side. Podcast One is in Beverly Hills, and it's a little bit easier to get to for our purposes out here at the El Pacifico, but, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. The west side of L.A. is, LEG is near LAX, and Beverly Hills is in through West L.A., so you're dealing with a lot of traffic. Oh, one thing I want to let you guys know. I think I told you that I want to do a roundtable show that is not character voice. It's a roundtable show of other people that do comedy. And I want to host this and do a once a week, twice a week maybe, three times a week, I don't know how many times, do a free-willing discussion of comedy, how comedy is constructed, how jokes are written, what our worldviews are, what is our take on life, you know, what pisses us off. You know, get in and talk to other comics, talk to other guys that are funny for a living, and pattern it. I wouldn't be patterned after Daryl's house, but it would be, I think it would be the same vibe of that kind of creative, you know, environment of talking about, you know, and creating on the fly, you know, stuff as we do the show. I don't know. But in any event, I talked to Podcast One about it. They said they would love to do that. And I am going to start to put that together. I'm not exactly sure when or how. We need to book one and then do it. Then the other thing I want to do, for those of you who are local here to the L.A. area, particularly here in the Ventura area, I would like to, if I can, go up to our friends up there at the Ventura Comedy Club, and I think I've been thinking about this. I want to see if they will let me work out a few nights a week, or not a few nights a week, maybe one night a week, two nights a week, maybe three nights a month, something like that, so I can have a sort of just a live presence there at that at the club there. And give people an opportunity to come out and see us do the show live. Because I know a lot of people are asking, when are you going to go on the road with it? And I want to particularly go to Florida this summer. I just got to figure out exactly what I want the show to be. I'm really kind of at a crossroads. Is it going to remain a one-man presentation? Am I going to continue to develop it that way? Because if that's the case, I can't keep doing comedy clubs. You've got to go into a theater setting and do a stage presentation where you have a kind of where you're asking the audience to watch it a certain way, as opposed to watching in a stand-up comedy club where you have these sort of this environment, this atmosphere of people are sitting, they're drinking, they're having dinner, the waitresses are dropping checks. That's all fine. I got nothing against that, but it sort of detracts from what you're doing if what you're doing is not joke, 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 you know. If I'm going to do that, if I'm going to work in that environment, then I might as well be doing joke, 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 joke. I might as well work up a stand-up style show, which I can do. I don't have, and I don't even particularly have anything against it. As a matter of fact, it would probably, if the more I think about it, probably be the better thing to do for me, because it would be working an area that I haven't worked before, as opposed to just character, 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 you know. If I do that, then we can head out and do, you know, the clubs in Tampa, Miami, and so forth. If I go and do a one-man and we need a theater, then we have to book theaters. It's just like that, you know, so. All right. Let me see something here, man.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens.
Okay, yeah. I didn't really like the mountain climber bit that I did yesterday. I was thinking of doing it again, but I probably won't have the fucking goddamn fucking time to do it again. Where is the, what the fuck is going on here? I told you, okay. How much time do we have in this motherfucker? 5 fucking goddamn minutes. Motherfuck. William Rennick. Master William Rennick, okay. No, I don't need that. The fuck is the thing here?
Until I had to gnaw my own arm off. And when I gnawed my own arm off, I grew scared to do.
Now, we've already done that material. I don't want to do that again.
Hi. Well, I've been through a lot of mountain climbing. I've done an awful lot of mountain climbing. Hi. Yes, I've done a lot of mountain... My specialty is backpacking and hiking. And we sing the song... my knapsack on my back. Now, the hiking that we do through trails and different areas of the country, and we... Hello. Yes, well, the hiking that we do is through a lot of areas of the country. It's a fun thing.
See, a packing, a backpacking?
Hi. I thought I wanted to call because I did not think my countryman acquitted himself very well when he was talking to you about mountain climbing and falling and almost gnawing his own arm off. I wanted to tell you...
You ever heard anything so crazy in your life?
It was...
Pretty weird, huh?
I don't know what to say.
Had you ever heard anything like that?
No, I almost did it myself once. We go hiking. The National Hikers Alliance is something.
National Hikers Alliance. That's it. What are we doing here, Glenn? And we have your Glenn Hart.
Knapsack on
my back. Phil, well, thank you very much, Phil. I'm grateful to be here on your program. I'm happy that you have me on your program.
Testing, 1, 2. All right, are we ready to rock this motherfucker? Yeah, I think we are. Okay. I got drive through. Arcade. Okay, that's good. And then roller coaster, I think we'll have.
Yeah. Well, right now, Phil, this is the 6th annual Joyful Union Congregation Fiesta, raising money for our church and for the middle school. I'm on a roller coaster right now. I'll tell you that I've got to.
Gotta get the roller coaster. You are at. Here we go. All right.
Yeah, you know that's.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Are we ready to go, man? Let me just get my shit together on this. Got to find out what it is, what it will be, and what it can ever fucking be, you know. What do we got here, man? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God damn, I need 3 songs. Okay. You know, bad company? Yeah. Oh, I already got that motherfucker. Two. All right, you ready?